I do want to thank you, Pastor Kevin, for allowing me to be here. I know Carrie's spoken a number of times. I wasn't able to be here, and she's had the privilege of being here and speaking to you all. And that's a real treasure for me. You have to realize that you guys have three of our best people here at your church. You're keeping them, huh? We thought about taking a couple of them back here, but you have to realize that for 22 years, these three, Pastor Kevin, Pastor Carl, and Pastor Sherry, mentored me. Sometimes tormented me, but the mentorship was in there. But I have to say that what they deposited into my life in the last 22 years is something I'll treasure for all of my life. To realize I came to the University of Idaho as a snot-nosed kid, not knowing anything about anything, walked into Living Faith Fellowship, and my life got transformed.
Amen.
Because three people loved me enough to move into my life, as well as my wife. I should say that too. I was like a lost puppy. She found me, brought me home, and they fed me. All right? Literally, they did. When I look at Pastor Kevin's, shoes, the very first shoe I ever owned, they bought for me. And I had a pair of blue suede shoes that they bought for me. I told everybody to stay off of them. But they were...
Do anything you want.
But I am today who I am because of 22 years of investment of people who plowed into my life, my pastors. And I am extremely grateful. And forever will be grateful. Thank you very much. Thank you, Pastor Kim. I want to talk to you this morning about the four-point message. 3 points of problems, 1 point solution. 3 points problem. Talk about three problems in life. Three problems in life, and then one solution. The first problem is, I'm going to talk about the battles of life. The battles of life. Life seems to be full of battles. Have you noticed that? There seem to be problems, 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 battles, battles, battles. Why doesn't things just work? It's like it doesn't just work. It goes wrong somehow. I was changing the brakes on my car. PK, I don't know if you know this. I was changing the brakes and putting new pads on them. But you have to open up the calipers, because you got to put the brand new shoes back on. Well, so I got my clamps and all that and tried to open the whole thing up. I spent an hour and a half trying to open them up, and they wouldn't open at all. And found out that this particular pair of clamps, you screw the caliper back in. Have you ever seen that kind? Have you ever seen that kind before? I have never seen that kind before. I spent an hour and a half, nearly lost my salvation. And then to find out, it took me an hour and a half to do one side, 10 minutes to do the other side. Once I found out, why doesn't it just work? It doesn't work. There's frustrations. There's problems. There's battles. Do you know what? In the Bible, there's 550 references to battle, war, trial, tribulation, fight, and numerous other implied references to problems, battles people faced. Almost every page of the Bible has a problem on it. A problem that's being solved. Or a person who was a problem. They're just problems. Joseph, he faced prison. Moses faced Pharaoh. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego faced the fire. Daniel faced the lions. Samson battled his own lust. Jesus battled the cross. Peter battled his betrayal. And Paul battled his thorn in the flesh. Every page you turn, there's something about a battle. Battles are here to stay. They're here to stay. Paul, the mentor, tells Timothy, his protege, this. Fight the good fight. Lay hold on eternal life. Why? Because someone's going to try to grab it from you. Fight the good fight. Now, I would have thought Timothy would, or Paul would have said to Timothy, hey, Timothy, enjoy life. Enjoy the good life. He didn't tell him enjoy the good life. He said, fight the good fight. We're supposed to be fighting. There's battles. And just like this Bible is full of fights and problems,
So are our lives. They're full of battles, full of problems, full of issues. Even Jesus gives us this promise. He says in John 16:33, "These things I have spoken to you, that in me you might have peace. In the world, in life's day-to-day walk, you will have tribulation. You will have problems. I mean, that's not the verse you usually put in your promise box. "I'm going to have problems. Hallelujah. Praise God." But he spoke it. "In the world, you will have tribulation, but be of good cheer, because I have overcome the world." I have overcome the world. You'll have peace on the inside, even though the outside is not peaceful, because there's battles. The word tribulation, when he says you shall have tribulation, is the Greek word phlipsis, and it means pressure. Yeah. In the world you will have pressure.
That's right.
Just what we needed so we could live longer. Pressure. Pressure. In the world you will have pressure. The battles and the pressures of life. There's financial battles. There's sickness battles. There's relationship problems. There's parental struggles. There's marital struggles. There's single parents out there. There's problems with your parents. There's problems with your kids. You're battling a vice. It could be pornography, drugs, alcohol. My dad was an alcoholic. There, you've got weight problems, and we got work problems. We got weather problems. You complain about weather. You can't complain about weather around here. Wow, ever since we've been here, we look out at the from the Barton's home, you look out and you see it's just fabulous.
Yes,
and every day we've been here, it's been is it always like this around here?
Yeah.
I thought maybe this is heaven. Maybe you guys have found it. This is the lost Garden of Eden. We're in it right here. Weather. Maybe you're overwhelmed with something. Maybe you have anger problems. Maybe you're battling depression or anxiety or hatred. Or maybe you're hurt. Or maybe you're just plain grumpy. My wife told me, why does it when men get older, they get more grumpy? I said, that's not true. Let me boil it down to this. There's been a post made about this. Stuff happens. Stuff happens.
Right.
A couple of days ago, I was out and I had my good shoes on, and my wife was giving me these new pair of shoes, and I was out and I was just walking around the house, and came back into the car, got in the car, and I go.
Oh, yeah.
I had stepped in some stuff. And I had the kind of shoes where it has all the little tracks and stuff in it.
Oh, yeah.
So you just don't go zing.
It's gone.
I had to scrub them out. Why is that?
Why did that happen? It was a great day.
And then stuff
came to me.
That's right.
What is all this stuff?
Stuff. I don't like some of the stuff that happens. We had just remodeled our kitchen. I live in a duplex, and the upstairs part, we put a new countertop in. We've waited 3 years to do this. And then we put a floor in.
Twenty-three years.
3 years actively
looking.
What kind of floor is that? What's that called?
Linoleum.
Just a linoleum floor. So it's nothing special.
However, right 8 days later.
There's something about eight. It was new beginnings.
But 8 days later, my ice maker valve broke. I get a call. I'm in the shower. I'm shampooing my hair, having a great day. Well, it's going to be a great day. No stuff happened today. I get a call
on my cell phone, and normally when you're in the shower, you don't answer the phone. Do you? You don't go up there.
No.
But I thought, oh, I stopped the water. I got it out.
Yeah.
And I grabbed the phone.
Hello? It's going to be a great day. He goes, hey, Phil. The downstairs guys go, hey, Phil, there's water coming out of our living room light fixture. I go, what? This is coming down. I put a towel on. I run out to the living room trying to figure out what's going on.
And I see a flood in our kitchen. The water is this deep. It had gone all the way out to the living room.
I find a 6 feet out all the way around the room. All of that stuff.
Oh,
And they're like, oh my God, and it just spurted out. I got a towel on. I'm running out trying to find out where is the valve to turn it off.
Oh, there's some Hawaiian dancer.
I'm out the street, but where's the main valve? Just trying to turn stuff off.
Oh, dear.
And when it all got done, our floor that was level, now you walk on it like this. It's just
bubbled up in spots.
Yes.
What's that stuff called?
Particle board?
It just took all the water and it's bubbled in.
That's only a kitchen.
23 years.
Honey, we're going to fix that. Why does stuff happen? Why does stuff happen? Let me give you three reasons why stuff happens. Number one,
this isn't heaven.
In case you didn't know that.
That's right.
This is not heaven.
If we had it all here, we would never long for something more.
Yeah.
If you were completely fulfilled here, life was wonderful, everything was perfect, you'd never want to leave. But God has another spot for us other than here. He wants us to live forever in heaven where there's no more crying, dying, sighing, no more
death, no more
sickness, no more
stuff. Number two, why does stuff happen? Because God uses stuff to test you and to improve you.
That's true.
He uses stuff to test you and to improve you. To change you, if you will. He wants to change you. You know, He loves you just the way you are,
but nobody else does. So He wants you to change.
He wants you to change.
I don't care whether you're 0, 1, 27, 38,
104.
God has not done changing this. He still is calling us
right.
to change. And He uses stuff to change us because we get complacent when everything's nice, but when stuff happens, we start having to change some things.
Stuff brings stuff to the surface so it can be dealt with in our lives.
When I look at this pressure, if you take
a piece of coal and give it some pressure and some time,
right.
It will change. It will change into something very special for you ladies, right? It'll change into a diamond. God uses pressure and time and stuff to change us from some of the junk in our life, mm-hmm. something that becomes very precious.
Yeah.
Very precious. Thirdly,
why does stuff happen? Because there's an enemy, there's an adversary. There is someone who wants to mess up your life. There is someone whose mission on this earth is to kill, steal, and destroy.
Yeah.
To mess stuff up. To throw stuff at you. To trip you up. To cause you to fall. To cause you to not lay hold. To let go of. That's salvation.
Amen.
To let go of stuff. To say, well, God's not going to make my life perfect. I don't want Him anymore.
Really?
I know people, because it doesn't go perfect down here, they let go of Him. When you get saved, it's like you pray for a parking spot and then you get it.
Yeah.
You've been walking with the Lord for 30 years. You ask him to park his butt, he goes, you know, you really need to walk off some of that fat. I mean, I'll help you. I'll park you over here on the mountain.
First B, the battles of life. Second point, the baggage of life. Ever feel like there's baggage in your life? It seems that life is not just full of battles, but the result of these battles produces baggage in our life. And stuff happens, and stuff hurts you. It's not just a test. It does something on the inner core of who you are, your being, that hurts, that stings. These battles leave us scarred up, hurting. And there, we start In Hebrews 12:1 it says, "Therefore we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witness, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily," notice the word "easily," "ensnares us." Why is it easy for him to ensnare us? "Lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares." Coming all, and it's amazing. Instead of getting rid of it, we start carrying it around. Instead of putting what we should put in here, our life in this, start putting in the naughty words someone said to us and how I feel bad now. We start putting in their relational difficulties and problems in our family. We start carrying all sorts of garbage in here because we don't know how to deal with it. We box it all up and then we start taking it with us. I'll tell you what, when you start taking your... clean and open heart. We carry our baggage around. There's life. Weights. And then there's sin. I look at weights. Weights hold you down. Sin, there's two things. Lay aside every weight and the sin. Weights hold us down. Sin trips us up. Weights hold us down. Sin trips us up. Secondly, weights are what happened to you. And sin is what happens through you. Let me say it this way. All those issues of abuse and problems would be weights that we put on our back because they happened to us. I didn't do them. I didn't make my dad an alcoholic father. I didn't make him go through all these tirades. I didn't cause all that abuse. Sure. But it happened to me. Okay? But sin, on the other hand, is what I choose to do that happens through me. I do. But he says both of those things cause us to have baggage. We put that baggage in here and we carry around, whether it's our sin or our issues or our hurts or our pain. We carry them all around. He says to lay aside every weight. Lay it aside. Because baggage will hurt you. Baggage always costs something in your life if you carry it with you. If you take baggage in an airline with you, what is it going to do? It's going to cost you, isn't it?
Yep.
And what if it's a lot more baggage than you thought? It's going to charge you extra, right?
Yep.
You see, it's the same thing in our spiritual life.
Wow.
Baggage will always cost you. It'll cost you more than you thought. Hey, I'm right here. What? More? I got to pay more? I'm over the limit? Baggage will always hold you down. You know, we went to, we climbed, a bunch of my buddies, we climbed Mount St. Helens. They were all a bunch of light little guys. You know, I'm the heaviest guy there, okay? So guess what? I'm the last guy up the mountain. I realized that the more you weigh, the more weight you carry, the slower you go. You can't climb as fast as all these guys were running around me. And I was going, "Oh, God, I want to get to the top." And when I got to the top, I said, "Thank you, Jesus, for blowing the last 2,000 feet off." God was over 1981. You know, Phil's going to try to climb this mountain. He'll never make it. Let's blow it off and help him.
That's how God does stuff ahead for you. I realize that weight holds you down. The more weight you have, it takes energy out of your life. You're so much more free when you let go of baggage. By letting go of baggage, forgiving people.
Let go of it. Ask the Lord to take it. Lay aside. But we hold on to it.
My identity is I'm an abuse victim. You know what? My identity is not I'm an abuse victim. My identity is not I have an alcoholic father.
My identity is that Jesus Christ is my father.
Right.
He allows me to triumph over anything. So what if something happened to me? I have scars. But those scars don't dictate my life.
That's right.
Those scars show that there's healing that's taking place.
That's right.
I'm hurrying. The devil wants to mess you up and trip you up with all that he can, but we're to lay aside every weight, to put it away, to get rid of it. Third, we've got the battles of life, which produce the baggage of life.
Because I wanted to make them all bees.
We've got the boo-boos of life.
I say it as boo-boos. I wish I could find a B word that was much stronger than that.
Because let me tell you about
the greatest boo-boo that ever happened. The greatest boo-boo that ever happened was
the fall of Adam in the garden.
Amen.
The greatest boo-boo, the greatest mistake, the greatest... What's a good B word, Pastor Kev?
Blunder.
The greatest blunder. The greatest blunder. Was Adam's fall in the garden. Do you realize how much was lost there? How much that little boo-boo, that little mistake, and you know, we have little boo-boos too, right? We got all these little boo-boos, oh, that little boo-boo.
Those all cost us.
We have all of these blunders in our life. Adam was in continuous relationship with, underline the word, with God. Continuous, unabated relationship with God. In the most beautiful place in all of the world. Even more beautiful than here. In Eden.
Amen.
But when the devil tempted him and he ate of that fruit, he fell.
He fell.
And like most of us, when we have a great fall, we break something usually. Adam broke something in that fall. Adam broke something very important in that fall. His relationship with God was broken and he was kicked out. The Bible says in Genesis, he was driven out. God drove him out of paradise and put a flaming sword, an angel at the entrance so he couldn't get back in. He lost something. Something got broken. Let me picture it like this, if I may. How am I supposed to do this, son? Oh, jeez. Hold that, will you, for me, honey, please? How does this work? Yeah, just hold it there.
I keep going in and out of...
Blunder, biggest blunder. B-L-U-N. You know that...
Pastor Phil?
Yeah.
Let's go ahead and change mics here.
Stop the clock.
When Adam fell, I don't think we understand the gravity of that fall. We just know it was the fall, and therefore we're all in this state now. When he fell... Are you putting that on there? When he fell, and he was enjoying a whole, complete relationship with his Father. When he fell, something broke. And I bet you could probably hear it slashing. So much that he knew it broke, because when it broke, Adam goes, uh-oh! And he starts to try to put it back together. He's going, what am I going to do? He gets some leaves and tries to glue them all together. He realizes that something's wrong in this relationship. He got deceived by the enemy. That guy who came to kill, steal, and destroy did exactly that. He believed a lie. Like we believe, relationships will never get worked out. It can never happen. It's always going to be hell forever. Blah, 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 blah. That's all a lie. He took Adam on his own now, tries to restore, and he starts to try to glue back and try to make what he messed up back so that nobody would know, and just kind of, and just kind of try to put it back together so he looked okay on the outside. Was he okay?
No.
Do you see how shattered that is? Can anybody here, in your own efforts, try to put that back together? You think you could glue that back together?
No.
I mean, you couldn't even try to get it in a sense of a spear. When Adam fell and he broke something, his relationship with God was broken. And the with part got severed. He was with God in the garden, walking in the cool of the day, having this relationship with God that was absolutely amazing, but the with part got severed. And now an angel stands at the entrance and he has lost something.
Right.
He has lost something. He tried to glue his own soul back together, but he couldn't glue it back together because you can't glue a soul back together by yourself. He couldn't undo what he had done. He couldn't undo what he had done. He could not repair the damage. He couldn't fix it. And most of us in life try to fix whatever's wrong. I'm going to fix it. I'll fix it. You can't fix that. It's broken. It's broken. Now this relationship at best is fragmented. Oh, God was still going to come and visit man. We would have visitations. We would have Moses who would enjoy a relationship with God. But he wasn't just with in continual, unabated, continuous relationship. The Spirit came and went. It came and fell. And then it was gone. He never had this continuous. So at best, we have a fragmented relationship with God. And Moses had a great one. Abraham had a great one. But they also messed up. They had a fragmented relationship. Not a whole one. Not a whole one. So we have a problem. This continuous relationship with God, these, if you will, battles in life and baggage of life and these boo-boos in life or blunders, they bring us to what we need, which is the solution. And that's why I like to talk about it this time of year. The baby of life. The baby of life. This season is where we celebrate His birth. This baby. Let me say it this way. The greatest event that has ever taken place in history is not the creation of the world. It's not the creation of man. It's not the creation of the stars and the moon and the galaxies and everything beyond. The greatest event that has ever taken place in our history is the birth of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
The birth of Jesus Christ. God becoming flesh and dwelling, hear the word, with man again.
Yeah.
Dwelling with man again. We're trying to glue that back together and God's going, folks, you're never going to get it back
That's
together.
Right. That's right.
You're never going to get it back together so we can be with the way we were to be with, continuous, unabated, forever. Relationship with Him. In John 1:1 it says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And then John 14 says, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And dwelt among us. You see, God is a spirit, right? Jesus said that. God's a spirit. They that worship Him must worship Him in spirit and truth. You have to understand what happened here. God is a spirit. God has always been spirit. And He decides to take spirit and puts flesh on it and bring it down here. He puts flesh on spirit. He changes form from what He was. Because He had a plan to do something about that. He becomes flesh and dwelt with us. Let me say this. He became flesh, a baby, and when He took on human flesh and became like us, He also took on all of our weaknesses. He would grow hungry and tired. He would get distressed. He would thirst. And he would gain the ability to die. Wow. He became like us, so we once again could become like him. He became like us so we could become back again like him, created in his image. Because God, who is spirit, took on flesh, he allowed us who are flesh to take on his spirit. You see, he's going to keep exchanging stuff here. He, spirit, takes on flesh so us flesh can take on spirit and be a spiritual being, not just a fleshly being. He left heaven to come to earth so we could leave earth and go to heaven. He didn't glue it back together. He restored it back together. There is nothing that you can do to restore relationship. We need the power of God Almighty to restore everything in our life. Amen. And when that baby came, and that baby, the second greatest event is his death. First and second, second and first. We need them both. He restored what was broken.
That's right.
He took our fragmented relationship that we don't understand what they were walking in before Christ came. This fragmented relationship trying to relate with God that we have handed to us. I wish I had it on a silver platter. Here. Would you like yourself whole? You can have it. Just come and take it. They didn't have it back there. We have it at our access like that. He came to restore what you could never glue back together. Relationship. Be careful with your relationship. Care of it. I love this part. In Isaiah and in Matthew, there's a prophecy, and both prophecies say this: behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel. Old Testament spells it with an I. New Testament spells it with an E, just because it's a translation from Greek and Hebrew back to English. Both of them Emmanuel. I can imagine God getting ready to birth. You've all, if you've had children or grandchildren, the process of naming your kids. What should we name them? We're going to have a baby. And we look through the books and everything. We go, oh, it's a big deal. We've got to name them. We don't just name them Dorcas. Well, I guess there was a girl named Dorcas. Stuff. We don't name them Stuff. We've been called Stuff, but we don't name them that. I mean, your God is trying to think of what he's going to name them. My son, spirit's going to take on flesh, be birthed. What shall his name be called? And I could see him thinking, looking back 4,000 years prior to this fragmented relationship, and now 400 years past, and here's the birth of his son. What shall we name him? We're going to call him Emmanuel, God with us. We're going to call him relationship.
Good.
We're going to call him relationship. We now have relationship back whole with God.
Good.
Again. Why? Because of this birth of this baby that restored back to us. No longer would God be away, but he would be with us again. Just like in the garden with Adam before the fall, walking with us. But let me say this too. He's not just with us. Tommy, where's Tommy at? Give me those, Tommy. Vernon Pat, can you come up here for a second here? Okay, I want to show you something here. Okay, these are two balloons, right? Okay, ready? Hold on to yours. You got it tight? Okay, let's go. What the heck's wrong with you, man?
Look up.
What happened to you? Now,
I had a friend named Phil.
Now, let me say this. He's not just with us. He is in us.
Yeah.
He didn't come just to be with us. He came to live in us. Now, let me tell you something. The only difference between these two balloons is what's in them.
Yeah, that's good.
And what's in them makes a big difference if you want to rise up over the battles, problems, and blunders of your life. You need something in you, fully restored, that will allow you to jump over any hurdle, any boundary, any problem. You see, all he can do is by his own efforts try to keep that up. And you know what? Keep it up there. We got to get some barriers to go over. He's got to just keep it up. Come on. Hit it. He's going to have to spend his whole life trying to jump over barriers and all of that energy and all of that effort and all of that stuff just to keep it up. To get over the problems. And you know what she has? She has something on the inside. You see, people without Christ, all they can do is spend their life trying to jump over every hurdle and all of their energy and all of their effort. But Jesus Christ took on flesh so you could take on spirit.
Hallelujah. Yeah.
So he could live in you and cause you to rise over every battle, every baggage, every blunder, every flooded kitchen,
yeah.
All the dew on your shoe. So, he would have a relationship with him, and he would be in you. That's what makes you different from anybody else. And that's the hope that we all have.
Amen.
For our life. Grab somebody's hand and let's pray. Thank you. Father, thank you, Jesus, for humbling yourself, changing who you were, and allowing your spirit to take on flesh so that our flesh, who doesn't do great in this world, could take on spirit so that we could triumph over the problems, the battles, the baggage, the blunders. Because we have a baby who grew to be a man, who humbled himself on a cross, and then not only lives with us, but lives in us. And says he will never forsake us. Father, we thank you for the baby. We thank you for Jesus. And Father, for us here today who need to understand that even more, to need to apply that spirit to jump over some relational difficulties or to jump over some besetting sin issues in our life or to jump over some abuse issues and hurt issues and pain issues and stuff issues of our life. Oh God, let us realize who we are. Let us realize who's in us. Greater is He that's in me than the stuff that's in this world. Heavenly Father, let us rise to be the sons and daughters of God you've called us to be. To see life from the top, not the bottom. The head and not the tail. To be who you've destined us to be from the beginning of time. Help us, Lord. In Jesus' wonderful and precious name, we pray. And everybody said, amen. Amen.
Amen. Welcome to our world. How many heard from Jesus this morning? Would you like to get specific? Points one, two, or three? Let's all live in point four. Amen. Now, don't come up with your bare feet here this morning. Jesus is good. Born, lived, died, resurrected. All for us. Aren't you glad? One of my favorite people in all of life that I've ever had the privilege of working with is Pastor Phil. It's a joy to have his family with us this morning. What I'd like to do is have all their family come up and be around this table, would you? Because we're going to pray for this family, for the blessing of God to continue to abide upon them. Would you like to do that? So, come on up. Let's come on over. And Pastor Carey, if you want to come on over, that's great. Elaine, if you'd come. We'll have you join your husband. Thank you. Would you play for us? Father, we thank you for the privilege. Go ahead and reach out your hands, and we'll, those close by, lay hands upon them. We thank you, Father, for the anointing of God that abides upon this family. We pray right now, Lord Jesus, that the joy and the strength and Spirit of God will continue to abide, continue to flow in and through them. And even this day, that there be a fresh baptism in your Spirit, O God. This family has given themselves to running hard after you, given themselves to the ministry. We pray blessing upon blessing to them, body, soul, and spirit. Father, again, as a congregation, we thank you for the patriarch and matriarch, amen, for Pastor Carl and Pastor Sherry. Lord, we pray continued healing power. Lord, even as we extend our hand, we believe you for healing power, strength, anointing, encouragement, body, soul, and spirit. Thank you, Lord, that the anointing abides. We give you sweet praise here today. We thank you that you're such a great God who heals all of our relationship, who restores. And we get to go forth from this place this day knowing you are our great Lord and Savior. In Jesus' name, we all said, amen. Amen. If you've heard from the Lord this morning and there's a need in your own life, come on up and pray. If there's a need for physical healing, we'll enjoy praying for you. If you're here this morning and you haven't given your life to the Lord, this is the day to do so. But go out with the joy of serving Him. What a great God. Amen? Amen. Father, again, bless these people as they go.